am the chairman of the airport committee. I'd like everybody here at the head table to introduce themselves, starting with Mr. Flood.
I'm Ken Flood, Commissioner of Planning and Economic Development for the county.
David Robinson, Commissioner of Public Works.
Mike Benvenuto, Gantt Supervisor.
Neil and Richards, Richmore Aviation.
Andrew Rockwell, Legislative Aid.
And I asked Malin, who is the president of Richmore, to join us here in case there are any questions about airport operations. Before we get into the agenda, let me just provide some background for those of you who have not been attending these meetings regularly. Chairman Grattan appointed a committee to look into the issues surrounding the proposed expansion of the runway safety zone on runway 21 back at the end of October, based on a lot of public and supervisor concern and questions about what the background and history was and why we were doing what was being proposed, which was to purchase 16 acres from the Meadow Greens from Mr. Miro and his partners, and also to take about 90 acres of what they call navigation easements, which are the ability for the airport owner who owns the easement to control pretty much what goes on in those 90 acres. The purpose of the committee was to get into the issues, find out what the facts were, answer a bunch of questions, and come up with some recommendations for the Board of Supervisors to move forward on either the plan as it was proposed or an alternative. We've been meeting a couple of times a month since the beginning of November, and we have narrowed down the search for what we ought to be doing or what we ought to be recommending to the Board of Supervisors, the county do, to four or five alternatives. And the purpose of today's meeting was going to be to run through those alternatives and have each one of the supervisors here on the committee provide his thoughts on the pros and the cons of those options, and then to open it up to the general public to provide input for what you all think the pros and the cons of those various options are. Tonight's meeting, we only have two of the six supervisors who are on the committee present, so we do not have a quorum. So we're not going to be making any decisions, and we're not going to be able to approve the minutes of the last meeting. But the important thing tonight, I think, is we have a lot of new faces here in the audience, and I'm looking forward, and the committee is looking forward to hearing your views on the issues as they've come up. We're here to hear your views and answer your questions and provide any information we can. So, having said that, and knowing that we are not going to be able to approve the minutes, let's move to the open issues and follow-ups. We've had some very active debates over the past couple of months over what the actual operations numbers are at the airport. Operations are defined as a takeoff and a landing, and the numbers back in 2003 that were projected in the master plan suggested we are likely to have had about 27,000 operations by 2010. The estimate in the 2011 plan was 19,000. The Stanwyck study, which is something that was done in 2011, suggested about 17,000. And recently we've had some work done by Mr. Pratt, which suggested the numbers could be as low as 2,000 to 5,000. So we really do not have any good feeling for what the traffic numbers are at the airport. This is an issue that we'll keep working on until we reach some kind of consensus. The other important issues that we've kicked around and talked about over the past few months include the profitability of the airport, and there's evidence that there is marginal incremental profitability in the short run, but over the long run, like the last 50 years of the airport's operation, there's been probably $16 million of capital spent that probably has not been recovered. We've talked about the future economic impact of the airport, and the basic thought here is, while you can't quantify what that might be, it's probably better to have an airport that has jet capability than not to have one as an economic development tool. We've talked about the desirability of the county exercising its right of eminent domain to take property, whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. We've looked at a couple of alternatives to the existing 5,350-foot runway, and we've come up with at least two that would work around 5,000 feet. We've had the suggestion that perhaps we could have an even shorter runway than 5,000 feet, something between 4,500 and 5,000. That would be even less expensive and would still handle a majority of the jets that are currently using the runway. We've had questions and concerns about obstacle removal on the periphery of the, what they call the runway safety zone. Is that what it is? The RF runway protection zone, especially among parcels that are north and west of 9H. We've gotten to the bottom of the question that I think was at the minds of many of us at the very beginning of the process, which is it a requirement on the part of the FAA that we implement this safety zone, or is it a recommendation? It turns out it is a recommendation. They strongly recommend we do it. They have no deadline set on when we should get it done, and there are no penalties for not doing it, except they probably won't give us money for anything else until we do this particular project. I'd like to ask Dave Robinson to give us a very brief history of the airport in terms of its initial construction and development over the last 50 years. David?
Thanks, Eric. The Columbia County Department of Public Works is responsible for managing the transportation assets at the Columbia County Airport. I'll just give you a quick overview or background or historical perspective as to when the Columbia County Airport first came to being. Some of the, more milestone upgrades or projects that were done at the airport. And then we'll talk a little bit about the runway safety area, which is the topic of discussion this evening, that we already did on the south side, and then turn it back over to Art to talk about what some of the options are for the runway safety area on the north side. The actual planning for the airport began around 1966 with construction, I believe, in or around 1967. Initially, the airport was 3,500-foot runway, and it was 75 feet wide. Let's see, if I can get my dates right. It was in or around 72. We then had a 700-foot extension, and that extension was, I believe, to the south. 7-foot runway, runway extension, parallel taxiway, constructed apron expansion, non-directional beacon. That was installed at the Hudson Fish and Game Club. In around 87, we had an 800-foot extension. That was to the south. I can't be sure of the 700-foot extension in 72, whether that went south or north, but I do know that the 87-foot, in 1987, the 800-foot extension went south, bringing it up to about 5,000 feet. And then in or around 91 or 92, we did another 350-foot extension south to bring the runway to its current length of 5,350 feet. In total, from the initial planning for this airport in around 1966 to current, we've undertaken on the order of 40 capital projects, the majority of which were funded through the FAA with 90% reimbursement. The state shares a 5% reimbursement, and then the local municipality has a 5% stake in those projects also, so we pay 5%. There are a couple of projects where the percentages weren't quite like that, but for the most part, most of the projects were on that order. From my records, we've invested a total of about $16.2 million in the airport, and that was beginning in 1966 with the initial planning, of which the estimated county share of that $16 million was about $1.3 million. In 2006, we accepted one of those 38 grant offers or capital projects that I was talking about for the purpose of building the runway safety area on the southern side, runway three of the airport. For those of you that aren't familiar with the term runway safety area, the runway safety area is an area that's approximately 500 feet wide by 1,000 feet long, and it's right off the end of the runway. The purpose for a runway safety area is to provide an area for a plane to be able to safely abort a takeoff, and to provide an area for a plane to safely land on the runway should the landing be short of a runway. So we have to have, in our case, a minimum of 600 feet off the runway, prepared in a manner to support a short landing that's short of the runway, and an area that's 1,000 feet to support a plane should a plane need to abort a takeoff so that it can safely taxi out and stop. In 2006, we accepted the grant offer for the design and construction of the runway safety area on the south end, runway 3. And that work was completed, you know, it was in around 2009. Generally, these projects are a couple years in the design and then about a year in the construction. So it would have been around the 2009 era that project was completed. Our 2003 master plan that Art Basson referred to identified several alternatives for the runway safety areas. I want to say both south and north. I'm most familiar with north, runway 21. And the preferred alternative in the master plan for the runway safety area on runway 21, which is north, was to construct a runway safety area that's exclusive, and we can talk a little bit more about the terms exclusive, for the purposes of a short landing or aborting a takeoff, so it's that 1,000 feet area, as opposed to providing what's called displaced distances, which is a combination of the existing runway length, also being used for, in some cases on a landing, that 600 feet that I was talking about, and in some cases on a takeoff, that 1,000 feet that I was talking about. The county's adopted the master plan in 2003. There was a committee of supervisors, and there were also members of the private sector. Certainly there were, I know that members of the Colza family that owned Metagreens did work with the county side on that committee as their master plan was being developed. After the master plan was completed, adopted by the Board of Supervisors, and adopted by the FAA, the county began working on the construction of the runway safety area. The process to actually obtain authorization from the FAA to build the runway safety area is quite lengthy. And it first starts with the FAA awarding a grant offer, much the same as many of those 39 that I was talking about that we've already undertaken at the airport. That grant offer would then provide the county funding for the environmental investigations and planning of the runway safety area. Not the design, but just the planning. And also the preparation of appraisals, should appraisals be needed, if property other than under the ownership of the county would be needed to build the runway safety area. On the south side, we were fortunate. We owned all the land, so we didn't need any property acquisitions. On the north side, in accordance with the preferred plan that's identified in the master plan, property acquisition was contemplated. So I would say that it's in or around 2006. The county did go through those steps of the environmental assessments and the preparation of appraisals for the acquisition of the land. Oddly enough, that was at a time when the multifamily still owned the land. And we were only looking at acquiring that 16 acres that's identified, plus or minus 16 acres that's identified in the master plan for the construction of the runway safety area. When we were complete, when our work was complete, and we were prepared to make an offer, the suggestion then came our way to purchase the entire land, that they would rather sell the entire property as opposed to just the 16 acres. We discussed that with the FAA, and they willingly gave us another grant offer to redo that whole study and incorporate the entire golf course property. We did that. That property land consists of three or four different parcels. We did appraisals on all those parcels. In the process of negotiating, the land was then sold to the current landowner, which kind of put us back to square one, where we still need to build our runway safety area, and the master plan identifies the preferred alternative as acquisition of property other than what the county owns. A couple of years ago, I can take a look at the exact date, but I'll just say a couple of years ago, the FAA again provided the county with a grant offer to again conduct the environmental assessment work and the appraisals that are needed for the state and the FAA to consider the fair market value for the acquisition of land. That work was complete. A finding of no environmental significance was issued by the FAA for that project, and authorization was given to the county to offer to buy the land in a prescribed amount. That process also is very complicated. Not only one appraisal is needed, but we have to hire two appraisal companies, both certified on a New York State DOT list. Those two independent appraisals are then reviewed by a third appraisal, independent appraiser, who then reconciles the two, sends the findings to the New York State DOT. The New York State DOT then reconciles that entire work product and recommends an offer price to the FAA. The FAA, in return, then communicates that to the owner or the county, so far as a price that they will authorize us to offer. That price then representing also the amount that they would be willing to reimburse for their portion of the 90%, the state portion of the 5%, and then we would have to pay the 5%. That's kind of where we are right now. We made the offer. The landowner did not accept our offer. And I think as a result of that, this committee was formed, and this committee now is really taking a hard look at was the recommended alternative in the 2003 master plan for the runway 21 safety area, does that still reflect the best available alternative today in 2014? So I think that's pretty much where we are.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that David said that I'd like to reinforce. Number one, the existing length of the runway, 5,350 feet, that was accomplished by 1992. And that's about as long as the runway can ever get, as I've been advised, based on the terrain out there. Second very important thing is that the master plan in 2003 made some assumptions about traffic and about growth of the county and the county airport that led to the recommendation to maintain that 5,350-foot runway, which I think everybody agrees is the kind of jet-capable runway that is most comfortable for folks who fly jets. what's happened in the last 10 years, both in terms of county growth and the operations and expectations at the airport, fueled primarily by the meltdown financially in 2008, which affected the jet business, is that the numbers that the master plan assumed were going to be around today just aren't there. And as the issue came up about does the county want to exercise eminent domain to seize the 16 acres from the Meadow Greens and implement a 10-year-old plan to protect what's really a 25-year-old jet runway, the questions had to be asked and answered, and that's why we're here today. We tried to get into the alternatives to the plan that was conceived of back in 2003 to see if any of them made more sense than that plan that was designed 11 years ago. Before we go into those alternatives, there are, I think, four or five of them that we can talk about. Does anybody have any questions at this point? Yes, sir.
The 5,300-foot runway that's presently there, is there any safety zone beyond that, or does it end at 5,300 feet?
There is a safety zone on the southern end that meets all FAA requirements, David?
Correct.
But there is no safety zone on the northern end, and it's the northern end that we're talking about trying to solve as a safety zone problem.
We own fee title 200 feet north of the runway.
On the north end?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Does the southern safety zone exceed the requirement currently?
No, we're pretty much right there. And that this runway safety area on the south end takes us almost right to the toe of the Mud Creek Environmental Center.
Yeah.
Dominate the questions here, but the county does own the property on the other side, 66, correct?
Some has been sold to different businesses. We own that White House, and the an arm of Penn's organization owns a 32-acre parcel. 33-acre parcel across from the dialysis center, the Soil and Water Conservation Center. The remainder of the land, we don't own. So we own the White House. An arm of Ken's organization has fee title to a 33-acre parcel. It used to be, I think, Roy Rively owned across from dialysis. And we don't really own, I don't think, anything else on the other side of 66. We own a spattering of land still on the, I guess they'll call it the north side of 66. But that land primarily represents wetland, you know, undevelopable land. But I do think that there is a fair amount that may still remain in county title.
But there isn't any occupancy on that property currently, any of that land across from the end of the road.
Not that I know of. Oh, except for the nursing home. If you go just a little further, I guess would that be east? Right.
Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is a question, and also maybe I'm going over bounds just a little, but I hear this 5,300-foot runway, and it seems like we don't need it. The other day on the news, or other night, I think most of you probably saw where a Southwest plane loaded with passengers, loaded with luggage, came down the Jerome Airport, and they only had a 3,500-foot runway. Now, I can't conceive of why Columbia County would ever need a 5,300-foot runway when that can happen. You know, that was safety. The only thing it had was a bumper to keep them going into a major highway. But why do we have, just because we've got acres and acres of land around us, why do we think we need to have so much areas of land planned?
Well, this project is not to extend the runway. To the point of why do we have a 5,350-foot runway? In 91, in or around 91, I believe it was, study was done by our airport consultants, and at the time it was also CNS engineers, to identify the class of plane that either comes into the airport or would want to be able to land at the airport. And then with that associated class of plane, what the length of the runway would be. I'm a little out of my element when I'm talking about this, because I haven't seen the tables that were used. But between collaboration between CNS engineers and the FAA, it was an agreement that at that point in time, a 5,350-foot runway or a 350-foot extension was appropriate to accommodate the jet class that was identified for landing at the Columbia County Airport. That's the basis for going from the 5,000 feet to the 350-foot feet. It was an agreement on the part of the FAA.
If I could just interrupt, I think the question you're asking is the same question we're asking. I don't think anybody knows here why the county decided to go from 3,500 to 5,350 over a 20-year period ending in 1992. But the issue today is, do we still need to preserve that 5,350-foot runway? And the answer is, we don't know yet. There are people who think we do, and there are people who think we don't. So we're trying to get to the point where we will make a recommendation in the next few weeks about whether we should or we shouldn't. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. With 35 years of airline flying experience myself, I would like to suggest that the airmanship displayed in landing that airplane on 3,500 feet was absolutely fantastic. I would not want to have been on that airplane as a pilot or a passenger, and I think she did a fantastic job of landing that airplane. And I really would strongly suggest that that is not really a valid indication of what we need. You know, that was a very, turned into an extremely serious emergency situation.
Yeah, I guess it's analogous to that plane that landed on the Hudson River a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
I don't think we want to use the Hudson River as an alternative either.
It's long.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Since we've realized that the numbers at the airport aren't there, the traffic is not there, and we're not using it, haven't we realized that within 35 miles from us, in three directions, there is a professional airport in Poughkeepsie, there's a professional airport in Pittsfield, and Albany, one there, all 35, 36 miles an hour away. Can we put a roadmap up here and say, guys, don't come here? You go to a real airport with firefighting equipment, and that's what they do?
I think we all know that those airports are there, and pilots basically go to the airport they want to go to. I mean, you can't really put up a do not disturb sign at the airport and expect pilots won't come here. I think all we can do is make a judgment, and that's what we're trying to do here, as to whether long term it makes sense for the county to maintain that 3,500.
What I was kind of saying, our airport is a recreational airport. I live at the north end,
right,
and every airplane that comes in and goes out, their wheels run over my roof. And today there was one gentleman with his arm out the window, in and out, and in and out, and that's all there is.
Right.
La La Land.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
My understanding is that in figuring out the appropriate length of the runway, it's either going to be based on the weight of the typical aircraft that lands there, or the average size of the aircraft. Is there any feasible way that the aircraft could the airport could provide numbers that would make that determination basically simple?
Yeah, we've had a couple of folks who have been close to this process work on that, and I just saw it yesterday or today, I guess, a chart that showed six or eight different jets and what their landing, what their takeoff distances were, not their landing distances. And this is a first step in trying to come up with the kind of data you're talking about. We're going to try to get the same kind of information on landing lengths that we have on takeoff lengths. And then Mr. Richards can basically compare those data to what he knows to be the planes that use his airport, and we can see if there is going to be a problem to shorten the runway below 5,000 feet. I think among the committee, and this includes Mr. Richards, who runs the airport, there's a sense that we can comfortably cut the runway back to 5,000 feet or maybe 4,900 feet and not have a negative impact on the jets that are using it today. The question then becomes, can you shorten it more than that? And the kind of data you're talking about, that we first started talking about just in the last couple of days, thanks to Kevin Delahanty, we're trying to get that data together to see whether there is a shorter alternative. But we just don't know yet. Yes, sir.
What restrictions are, as far as height, are going to be made up north here? I live directly in line with the airport. And I want to know, my trees not got to come down?
This has come up, and what, are you north and west of Long Beach?
I am in direct line. If you look out the window here and look straight north, I'm directly at the end of the runway.
You know, I could not answer that question unless I knew exactly where you were. But the
I
issue,
live less than a half a mile north of the end of the runway.
I still...
I live on one... I
he's
live
in
on
the RPZ?
Road.
Yes. We're all Milton. We're right up on the hill.
I mean, if we have to cut down all of our trees now, I'm going to feel like a second-class citizen in town again.
Yeah. This is an issue, and we don't have an answer yet. What the consultants have told us is that the FAA would like the county to take care of that, but doesn't require the county to take care of that unless the landowners cooperate. And
so if our land gets devalued, that because we have to take all our trees down, that's fine.
No, what I just said is that the FAA would like the county to do it, but will not require the county to do it unless the landowner agrees. Now we're trying to get confirmation of that from the FAA.
Okay, but we don't want to get this project going, and then after a year's time, they say, "Oh, your trees all have to go."
If we do nothing, your trees are still at risk. What we need to do is shorten the runway. If we shorten the runway, it takes a little bit of the pressure off the parcels north and west of Mount Age. If we shorten the runway to 5,000 feet or so, it takes a little bit of pressure off. If we shorten it more than that, it takes more pressure off. So shifting the runway south takes the pressure off the parcels north and west.
And there's a lot more people that live north of the airport.
Understood.
And due south.
And what
in
we
direct
don't,
line.
What we still don't know is what the FAA's requirement about this really is. We've been told it's not something that the county or the property owners have to worry about, but there are property owners who have been through this process enough, so they're not persuaded until they get much more than the assurances of the county or the consultants. We want the FAA to be able to confirm exactly what their requirements are. So the answer is, I just don't know yet.
Should we know this before we go on with the project?
No, I don't think we need to, because one way or the other, whether if we go forward with the project as it's on the table, which is to move the safety zone north, then it could have a serious effect on the properties north and west. If we cut back and shorten the runway, it'll have less of an effect. But in either case, we're going to have to make a decision about the safety zone unless we want to do nothing, which is one of the options we'll talk about. So,
yeah, currently we have navigation easements over most all the properties that are in the runway protection zone. The only properties that we're upgrading the navigation easements on is that property that's directly off of the runway going north. The FAA has not ever mentioned the need to remove trees in any other location of the other runway protection zone, other than those trees that currently are just off the runway, penetrating the transitional zone just off the runway. And our consultant is suggesting to us that every airport in the country has certain obstructions that penetrate transitional zones. We have different slopes to come off the end of the runway. We also have different slopes to go off the side of the runway. Basically, every airport in the country has some obstructions. The question is, how significant are the obstructions? It's the obstructions that are directly off the runway and very close proximity to the runway are of most importance. If the FAA, we are told, required every obstruction and every airport in the country to be removed, you're looking at an amount of money that just would not bring the value back in return. So those types of situations that you're talking about aren't pursued by the FAA.
Sam?
I know we've been around and around on this topic in other meetings, but for the benefit of others who are just attending their first meeting, I'm frankly sort of mystified by what you just said, Dave. With due respect, because the county spent
money, the FAA spent money, the state spent money 10 years ago on a study which identified tree by tree what trees were to be taken down on 22 properties, only two of which were Mr. Nero's, what is now Mr. Nero's property. Those were identified by parcel tax map numbers. Specific assessments were made of the cost to acquire those properties. These were inventoried in great detail. There are maps, extensive maps, and this study was reinserted, done, as they say, about 10 years ago. I can't remember if it was 2001 or 2003.
It was 2001.
And it was reinserted into all of your subsequent documents, or many of your subsequent documents, for instance, as an attachment to your environmental impact statement, which was blessed, as you just said at the beginning of the meeting, by the FAA. My question then is, if this really doesn't have to be done, and is strictly something that is optional, and the FAA is never going to require, I guess the reason why, there may be a good answer to why it was done, but it seems like money was spent for no purpose.
Sam, okay. I think...
And so
think
I'm wondering, was that just speculative? Well, why go to that level of detail, tree by tree,
this was done in 2001. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, the consultant said, this, while it was done and is real and is 10 years, 11 years, 13 years old, that the FAA doesn't require us to do
right.
it.
But the consultant cannot satisfy an insurance company. He cannot satisfy
the county
title insurance company.
The property owners agree. That's what he said. Now, I don't know what the answer is. So let's leave that
I
until
guess,
we can
given
find
that
an answer.
The consultant was involved,
understand.
Just to finish my point, I really believe that we're being misled here, honestly. I do. Because the consultants were involved in creating that study. So it would appear that the story has changed, even though the regulations haven't changed.
Right.
We're being shown maps that lights need to be put up outside the RPZ on Mr. Nero's property, but that we don't have to take down a tree on properties inside the RPZ.
Right.
I don't think it makes any sense, and I don't
agree.
Find the consultant's explanation
may,
at all.
You may or may not know this, but I got a letter today from Ken Dow asking these questions, and I sent it to the FAA asking for an answer. So
okay.
Hopefully we'll get more clarification, but I can't promise you that it will satisfy.
I just think the public needs to know that 22 properties were inventoried, and that study was in great detail, and if you want a copy of it, ask me or ask Patty Matheny or the Shrams, or go to the county itself, because your properties are in that document.
Yes, sir, in the back.
Quick technical question, Dave. Where is the airport perimeter fence in relation to these three interior buildings?
The airport perimeter fence on the north side is in the probably obstacle free zone, and certainly in the RPZ. I'm not sure what the opening is off the end, Jeff. Is it 500 feet?
So you have a chain link fence running across both ends of your safety zone? Is that correct?
No. On the south end, we're fine. On the north end, we actually don't, in actuality, the fence isn't closed because we only own 200 feet off the runway. But even that section of the fence that is erected on that north end, yeah, there's a possibility that fence may conceivably be in the runway obstacle free area, and that would all be taken care of when we create the runway safety zone. All of the fencing and all of those types of safety constraints are going to be located so that they're in compliance with the regulations. But yeah, right now we have an opening in the fence. And some of the other fence that is there may very well be in what's considered a runway obstacle free area, perhaps.
I had a question here.
Yeah, you mentioned in the very beginning that obviously this comes highly recommended the safety zone by the FAA.
Right.
And you said, you know, they wouldn't provide assistance or something if you didn't do this. Could you, maybe we're going to get to that, could you flesh it out a little bit just so that I,
Well, basically the FAA highly recommends that airports like ours implement safety zones and are willing to fund it up to 90%. If we choose not to, the only remedy they have is to not fund other projects we might apply for.
So good. Like for example.
Like we want to.
We need to overlay the runway.
Yeah. fix the runway or?
We need to overlay the runway. The cost of that capital project, rather than 5% being paid by Columbia County, would be 100% paid by Columbia County.
Patty, did you have something?
Well, back to the obstacle removal, I understand, you're saying the same thing about the safety zone. It's not required, it's just recommended. So after we do this, our fear, as we said over and over, just so everyone else knows, our fear is that once we've done this and we want more money, or the county wants more money, then that's going to be the next hammer they're going to hang over. We're not going to give you any more money unless you remove these obstacles. And I doubt very seriously that the FAA is ever going to guarantee us that they're not going to say that. But that isn't coming out.
I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
I don't think you can get a definitive
satisfaction. So it has to be, and CNS is never going to say that. They're never, ever going to say, don't do it. Because they don't get paid if we don't do it. They work per project. We know that's how they're paid. They're never going to say it. So it's up to the county to decide, and for all of us to decide if this is what we really want and what we need as a community, as an airport. And is it really doing all the things that the 2001 master plan said it was going to do?
Patty, I think maybe the best way that I could address that concern, I can certainly understand why it is a concern, is that the runway protection zone that's there today is the same runway protection zone that was there initially before we even began expanding the runway south. We've never pursued, and we've never been told to pursue the removal, the mitigation, or the lighting, or anything like that for any obstructions other than directly in front of the runway that are penetrating the transitional zones, that are in the RPZ, near where you live in the northwest corner, or even beyond the RPZ. I think to your point, Sam, in regards to that 2001 study, I wasn't here in 2001, but I read the study. I know exactly what the study says. I understand the study completely. And I believe what that study was trying to do was be as comprehensive as possible to identify as many penetrations in the transitional zone that exists so that it could be incorporated in the master plan and decisions could be made as to what needed to be, what remediation may need to be done for those penetrations. The topography going north rises. Generally speaking, I think that the direction of flight into the airport is from south to north, is the primary flight pattern. But that aside, while it does identify the obstructions, and while it does for every obstruction that penetrates the transitional zone, in a column that says recommended action or action, does say remove, that remove really does come with a caveat. That remove, for the most part, is if the property is available, if there's an opportunity available, then the county should consider removing those obstructions. But the FAA has never acted on the requirement for the county to do anything with obstructions that penetrate the transitional zone other than just off the runway, or those obstructions that are in close proximity to the runway. So we really don't foresee that the FAA is ever going to require us to go to the Love Apple farm property and take trees down, go to your property. I mean, we have navigation easements as it is on that corner of your property, but we're not going to act on it. We're never going to go there and take any trees down. The FAA has never approached us to do anything like that. And from what CNS has told us just a couple of weeks ago, in regard to this very question, we were concerned about those properties in the rowing protection zone that are identified in the 2001 study. What is the status of those? What can we expect as the owner to have to do In regards to those penetrations of our transitional zone as the owner and operator of the airport.
I really have a question.
We were told that what I just said a little while ago, that you know, in their experience, these are not obstructions that are of any kind of priority for the FAA, and we should be able to pretty much expect that we would be able to operate that airport the same as we have ever since that road protection zone really went into effect. So we don't foresee having to take do anything with those obstructions.
Okay, let's move on to something else. Is there a question in the back?
My question is there any financial responsibility if the county does nothing? We have to give money back to the FAA for all the...
Let's get to that when we talk about the alternatives. Okay, let me just clear the questions about where we are so far, and then we'll get to the, talking about the four or five options, and we'll get to that.
Just one more question. Do any of the supervisors or the people here get the feeling that our so-called consultants are the ones that are saying most of it? Up until just recently, it seemed like the FAA was the bad guy, and we had to do things for the FAA. But I think we're doing it for this so-called consulting. And it, sure, I wonder who gets paid to go out and check each tree on 22 parcels of land. And why do we do a survey 10 years ago or set up a program? And it looks to me like, and I just can't help but think, they're making jobs for themselves.
I think the important thing today, since we have a 60-year history with this airport, is not to look for the bad guys, but to find the right answer going forward. And that's what we'd like to talk about now, the four or five options that we have. So are we, Mr. Johnson?
Just one question. Is this true or false? The FAA has stated that by a certain year, we have to have a 1,000-foot safety zone.
False.
Okay. Because I don't think the public understands that.
You know, only true false questions are good. If anybody has a true false question, you know.
Right. So, you know, basically what CNS is... And I believe they're the ones that drifted into everybody into their plan.
Now, this is becoming an essay now. I just need true and false.
All right. Well, so just so everybody knows what he's answering false is, there is no mandate that's been required by FAA that says in a certain year that we have to have a 1,000-foot safety zone. It's not. And
the evidence of that is we've been sitting with this issue for now 11 years, 12 years. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, I suspect that a true statement would be that the FAA has a mandate in certification of an airport to identify various obstructions, part of the requirements for certification of an airport. Not necessarily it has to be acted upon, but they have to have a mandate. And I know it's not a good guy, bad guy thing. I think
it's just part of the process.
Yes.
Yeah. Just one clarification. Everybody keeps talking about landing, and the reality is its takeoff is what requires the distance. And it has also got a significant economic impact on fuel sales for Malin. If you take a Gulfstream 550 and fully load it, you need 5,900 feet, but its maximum landing weight, it can go into 2,700 feet. So it's everybody says landing, it's more, takeoff is, it requires more runway distance and more safety distance. And for the ability of the airport to make money by selling fuel to that jet aircraft so that it can take off with a full tank rather than a half tank and have to go refuel somewhere else. So.
Okay. Let me just ask if anybody here at the table has any further comments. Ken, do you want to add anything to any of this?
I don't think I can in terms of the technical issues.
I just wanted to make the comment about the safety zone in the FAA. Well, they don't require it for airports this size. The problem for the county, if it is a problem, this first came up in 1999. So it's been going back and forth. The FAA has recommended it. If there were an accident, you know, if something were to happen, is the county out there as far as, you know, being liable or something of that nature? So that's why we're trying to come to some sort of resolution.
as to what we need to do.
County attorney say you were covered?
The county attorney said we were covered.
County attorney's opinion was this should not be a problem, but we'll probably get sued anyway.
You always get sued.
You always get sued, right. Malin, do you have anything?
No.
Angela, how about you?
Under the current operations now at the airport, what we have and what's going on in your operations, the planes that are coming in and out of there, is it adequate at this point?
Yes.
So is this for what's going on now, or is this for what potentially could be going on in the future?
Well, it's for what it's adequate, but it's not as safe as it would be if you incorporated a safety zone.
And air pilots, planes that come in here obviously know the distance of this airport prior to coming in here, correct?
Yes.
So a pilot, it would be the pilot's responsibility to know what this airport length is prior to coming in here, so that if they were to land here, they would be landing in an appropriate airport before they would choose to come to Columbia County. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, let me just very quickly run through the alternatives as we have focused on them over the last couple of months. And then I'm going to ask Mike to comment on the alternatives. I will ask Malin to comment on the alternatives, give David and Ken a chance. I will then read Mike Benson's comments, John Purica's comments, and Art Baer's comments, so we all basically get a sense of where the committee is. And if you really force me to, I'll give you my thoughts on it, too. But the options, basically, there are five of them that we've looked at. One is continue to do nothing, which basically will leave us out of compliance on runway 21. Will not solve any of the problems that the neighbors north and west have. We'll have a 5,300-foot runway. The jets that are using the airport now will be perfectly happy with that, and we will just continue to kick the can down the road. We've been doing this for 10 or 12 years, doing it for another 5 or 10. Who knows? It could be the right thing to do. It just doesn't, I think, for most of us who've been thinking about this, not meeting the safety guidelines as recommended doesn't seem to make a lot of sense as a public policy decision. So I think most of us would like to get into compliance. Second option is the 4,500-foot runway. This is basically the quickest way to get into compliance, because what you do is you basically draw a line on the runway and you say, starting from this point forward, you're using 850 feet of the runway as part of a new safety zone, adding 150 feet that you have at the end of it, and you're done. Least cost, most rapid way to get into compliance. The problem is, I think everybody that we've talked to about this seems to agree, this will have an effect on the jets that are using the airport now. And while they can continue to use the airport, they will have to use it not fully loaded, meaning they would have to have less of a fuel load than a full load, and they couldn't carry all their passengers. And, I'm sorry?
What are they hauling in out of your manure? There's nothing here before we go in or out.
That's basically the other option, the second option. The third option is a runway between 4,500 and 4,900 feet, which may accommodate all of the jets that we have, or most of them, at a substantially lower cost than maintaining a 5,000-foot runway. This would move the runway further south, which would take the pressure off the neighbors north and west, take the pressure off of Meadow Greens, and would be viable if there were no problems with the jets that can use the airport. The fourth option is the 4,900 to 5,000-foot solution, which we think can accommodate all the jets that are coming in now. Probably will cost less than the current solution that's on the table to do the eminent domain process with Meadow Greens. We'll take pressure off the properties north and west, and we'll basically require FAA to support the money necessary to do the analytic work to prove this can work and how it could be implemented. The final solution, final option, is to maintain the current course of action that's on the table, which is to do the eminent domain process and secure the 16 acres and 90 acres of navigation easements from the Meadow Greens. This will cost a minimum of 3.4 plus whatever the legal costs for eminent domain are, and if in the eminent domain process the Meadow Greens, the owners of the Meadow Greens are awarded additional compensation because the court agrees that the 3.4 is not enough, then the upside, the risk to the county could be substantial, and it's really hard to figure out what that would be. So those are basically the five ideas that we've been kicking around. They all have pros, they all have cons. They all would require FAA approval. My sense, and having talked to the FAA recently, is if the board approves an option that meets the safety zone requirements, that makes sense, they will probably endorse it. But they want the Board of Supervisors on the hook first. They don't want to basically approve something, as they have in the past, to have the Board of Supervisors change its mind again. So I think we have to get the committee on the same page. We have to talk to the board about this, get a course of action laid in, and then go to the FAA. Those are the options. Yes, ma'am?
What's wrong with the
Pureka plan? The Pureka plan is the 4,900 to 5,000 plan.
Yeah, and that seems to be, I mean, you reverse things. You take some runway, shorten the runway northern approach by 600 feet and extend the southern end another 250 feet, right? And that would give you the 1,000 feet safety.
Right, right. That is one of the options we're considering.
Yeah, well, that seems to be, when I remember two meetings ago, seemed to be very logical, if you want to talk about logic.
Yes.
And not as expensive as was planned with the other one. Another
yes.
Five turns out of the world. Yeah.
There are a lot of people who agree with you, and there are a lot of people who think number five is the right answer. That's why there's a discussion going on. If we all kind of agreed, we probably would have been finished with this. Sorry? Yep, thank you. Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. When you say shorten the runway, does any of this include actually physically chopping up the pavement and removing it?
No, I don't believe it does it, Waylon? No. In essence, if you shorten the runway by 350 feet, you're drawing a line and you're declaring the end of the runway to be there with 350 feet of the surface, the runway surface being used as part of the safety zone. So in theory, if in 10 years you decided you wanted to re-lengthen the runway, arguably you could. You'd be shortening the safety zone, but you'd be lengthening the runway.
Maybe I misunderstood, but I think, isn't it, the safety zone begins at the pavement end of the runway, not the displaced threshold that you're proposing?
It's called a declared distance. If you have 5,350 feet and you want to lop off the last 350 feet and call that part of your safety zone, the FAA lets you do it.
I thought on the drawing it was from the end of the runway. So,
no. By definition, where you draw that line is the end of the runway. Okay, so look, we've got those five options. I'd like to ask Mike to kind of comment on his view, and then Ken and Dave and Malin, and then I'll read Art Baer and John Pureka and
Mike Benson.
And then we will open it up for all of you to comment again and ask whatever questions.
I just want to take a second to go back to the insurance. Just point of clarification. When that came up, it may have been Supervisor Benson, but brought up the possibility of the insurance company, if we didn't do something right now, that the insurance company could, you know, cancel our insurance. So it was stated that that wouldn't happen. But I wouldn't go so far as to say if we ignore a safety zone that it's not an issue at all. We don't have to worry about it. That's what I'm saying.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that it's been recommended by the FAA, and if we don't implement it after talking about it for 10 10, 11, 12 years, and something were to happen, I'm just saying it could be an issue.
I think this was exactly what was raised with Rob Fitzsimmons. I don't think he was strictly speaking to Mr. Benson's scare tag worst-case scenario. I think he quite specifically said we, our insurance covers that. It's a recommendation. It's not a requirement. And we can't be on the hook for a mere requirement. It also would be very expensive. A lawsuit could be expensive, but so could a having to acquire all these easements. You could fund a lot of lawsuits for that money. But I respectfully, I have to disagree. I thought Rob was quite clear on that topic, and I'm just a little surprised to have it come back.
Okay.
Chris, do you?
There's so many variables that, this is all speculation. You can never tell if there's going to be a successful lawsuit against us.
Chris, why don't you stand up and introduce yourself?
Chris Watts, I'm the assistant county attorney that Rob had asked to come here. Now, I wasn't here for that discussion when Rob was here and when that was brought up. But at the same time, I know for a fact that there's no way any of us would ever know if we were sued, if there were a tragedy and there was some kind of accident and we were sued, whether you had a successful outcome or not. That's pure speculation.
I would just point out that this is true of every single thing that the county does. This weekend, no, not this weekend, it was a weekday because I was behind a county vehicle on Route 23. The driver of the county vehicle had not secured the tailgate of his dump truck. This enormous iron gate was swinging back and forth as he went along Route 23. Did everything in my power to get his attention. Flashing, honking, gesticulating. He made no changes. He took a left turn onto 22. The gate swung left. If a car had been coming the other direction, someone would have slammed into it. I'm just saying, yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen to the county, but I don't know that that's necessarily what should drive this discussion.
Okay. Ron, did you have a comment?
I wanted to follow up on Mike's. My understanding from the attorney's answers to that back some time ago, and I'm certainly not an expert there, is that If because we were in the process of doing something, if there was an issue right now and we haven't achieved that safety zone, but we are in the process of getting there, we may not be held as responsible. But to Mike's point, if we make a public policy that we're never going to achieve it,
right,
then we might be at more risk for that.
Right.
Just
okay.
Comment.
You want to comment on the options?
Well, specifically from the standpoint of being Ghent supervisor, I've gotten a lot of emails for all the meetings that we've had. I mean, most of the people there are Ghent residents. And I'm certainly concerned when, it's addressed that about these potential easements, these trees that were specifically marked, and then we got talking about putting lights in trees. And I do not favor eminent domain under any circumstances. In fact, I'm surprised at some people who do in this circumstance, when generally I don't think that's what they stand for. It doesn't matter to me if somebody wants to be taken over. It's the principle of the matter, and it's eminent domain. It's the county taking someone's property. Along with that, I've been leaning towards, after all these meetings, the Parika plan, trying not to extend out any further north. The catch-22, if you want to call it that, is the FAA now will not give us an indication of whether they will fund a new economic study, which has already been done for the Meadow Greens plan. We don't know that for sure, because they said we have to first have a full board vote on what we want to do before they will decide how they will proceed as far as funding. That could be an issue. I hope not. I think if we come up with a good option, and I think the Parika plan is a good, valid option, The 350 feet, if we back off of that, that tarmac stays there. It's not like we're going to chew it up. And it can be used for the safety zone. The safety zone has to be built in a way that it supports safety vehicles, so that's not going to be removed in any way. I just have to say that's what I support at this point.
Okay. Ken, do you want to comment?
Obviously, the decision is the elected officials and certainly not mine. In terms of reviewing, making a decision for the supervisors, I think all aspects, and this company is doing a great job on considering all the aspects of the airport and whether or not does this need to be done. And obviously, the FAA has put us in a fairly poor situation in not saying yes or no, you have to have the safety zone. That would certainly make everything a lot easier. If they said yes, then you look at your options. If they say no, you know, maybe you don't have to look at anything. So I think the FAA is really putting us in a bad position, and not us, but certainly the supervisors, putting the supervisors in a bad position of trying to make a decision, adopting something, and then trying to get approval from the agency that has ultimate power. So I think that's unfortunate that the FAA has done this. Second, in terms of economic development, I'm always cautious when something is being proposed to be either removed or not used that's existing. You can go back to railroads, for example. You know, 40 years ago, everybody thought they were going to be out of, you know, business, and they certainly were declaring bankruptcy. Now you have Warren Buffett buying into railroads. The railroads are making money. Who could see everything that's happened in terms of the railroad and transportation? Same thing with urban renewal, for example. Everybody thought it was great to take down the old buildings. Oh, this would be great. We'll get a new mall downtown. We'll bring people downtown. It's the worst thing that ever happened to urban areas. Nobody can disagree. So, you know, that's the difficult part of this is actually looking into the future. Yes, the airport hasn't been as successful as it could be, and that's perhaps there wasn't the focus on working with it. And I'm not talking about bringing more jets in, you know, another tea hangar to add more props, to add more revenue to the county. Is it, you know, simply we're not hauling manure out of here, but, you know, it is certainly used for agricultural purposes, it's used for military purposes, it's used for law enforcement purposes. Nothing to do with the length of the runway, of course. So there are so many aspects that are needed. And who could foresee what 5350 length of runway is really going to accommodate? The fact is, we have it. If you paint the threshold, you're not really removing it. You could go back to it. I really like to pressure FAA to see what we can do to get an answer.
When I opened, I talked about, I used the term exclusive RSA, and that was the recommendation in the 2003 master plan, an exclusive RSA. That's what was constructed on the south end, and that's what was pursued for several years. I described the two iterations of appraisals that we, and finding efforts that we've already gone through on the north end. So in a hierarchy of alternatives, that would always rise to the top. And the FAA recognized that that rose to the top also. But the master plan also did talk about some displaced distance alternatives that would satisfy the runway safety area needs. It also had talked about engineering solutions to the runway safety area using arrestor materials, which are materials that when a plane hits it, they would slow down and would cause them then to not create injury. Those are very, very expensive, and those, again, were evaluated and not someplace we want to go. So if the decision is not to have an exclusive runway safety area on the north end, that then brings us back to the alternatives of displaced distance threshold alternatives. So far as our airport is concerned, the runway safety area that we constructed on the south end really does go almost right up to the toe of the Mud Creek Environmental Center. We own 200 feet on the north end. The challenge would be, and I think it really would be a challenge, to be able to come up with a 5,000-foot runway with using displaced thresholds and not go into the Mud Creek Environmental Center. I don't know that we could do it. We certainly could do it if we went into the wetlands in the Mud Creek Environmental Center. I think if you're opening up to just kind of like discussions, I think that that's going to present itself with some pretty significant environmental challenges that we would have to mitigate. That's what I surmise right now. So far as another alternative, which may be a much smaller piece of property to the north and still be able to satisfy the same. I think we need to be cognizant of the issues that would be involved with any work encroaching into the Mud Creek Environmental Center.
Thank you. Salem, you want to say a few words?
Sure. We're in favor of the plan of 4,900 to 5,000 feet. And I think we're comfortable with having as long of a runway as we can without interfering with the Mud Creek property. I think we can live with that. If it's 4,900 feet and you're going to extend or put 450 feet of pavement on the south end, that's certainly a plus for the pilots that are coming into the airport. And it gives you a safety zone that is partly made up of pavement, which is much better than safety zone made up of grass. So we'd be for that.
Okay. Well, let me read what I got from Supervisor Bear. I would support any alternative to maintain at least a 5,000-foot runway that complies with FAA safety zone guidelines. This assumes the FAA's continued financial support for any alternative and DEC's agreement to the extent any wetland impact is involved. Absent these assurances or at least indications of support, I would recommend we stay with the original proposal. And Mike Benson, let me just read the important paragraphs here. I have concluded that it is our responsibility as elected officials to look to the future and act in a way that is not only supportive of our current residents and businesses, but also to our future residents and businesses. Therefore, there is no question in my mind that the airport as it currently exists, and including the required safety enhancements, is the most desirable scenario and supports this important goal. We have an opportunity to shape the future of Columbia County by providing and sustaining an asset that will pay dividends for many years to come. On the other hand, a reduction of any kind, runway length, safety, operational flexibility, or otherwise, would be in the long term a devastating blow and a lack of vision that can never be undone. And in summary, maintain the current runway length and operational flexibility. Accomplish land acquisition through negotiation partnering between county, FAA, landowner. Complete all safety enhancements. Preserve private property rights. Complete a business plan for the airport, projecting future annual revenues and expenses. Monitor all airport operations fiscally and operationally, more professionally and definitively in all future years. And I got something from John Purica. Late today, I could not print it out. I've got it on my iPhone because that's what iPhones are for. Let me read the important part of John's comments. I am therefore again making a recommendation that we reduce the runway length from the now 3550 length down to somewhere around 4950 to 5000, and adding the 1,000-foot runway safety area to that final number. It appears on all data received from the public's input as well as FAA herein and the committee's hard work that we can safely reduce this runway without disrupting service to the airport for at least a minimum of 20 years or possibly longer based on all previous data obtained on the history of the airport. I don't believe that land acquisition from the Meadow Greens property is needed, and I don't believe in spending the taxpayers' money in pursuing eminent domain proceedings against Mr. Nero. Let's consider the option of going south with the airport runway and RSA design. Regards to all.
I just wanted to also say, when I was looking into the length of the airport and after talking to Malin, I looked at Key West Airport, which is there, it's only 4,800 feet, and they land 737s there. I mean, massive amount of operations. It's also an asphalt runway, which was somewhat shocking, but so, you know, I think 5,000 for Columbia County is plenty good enough.
Sounds like you have an answer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, is Benson being kind of a drama queen when he said he opted out of ever expanding more closely to make this decision now?
Who do you want to answer that?
That's not a true false question.
Art, first of all, let me take this opportunity to thank you and the committee for undertaking this effort. You guys have been extraordinarily patient, and this is something that obviously that from looking at the history, there have been several rushes to judgment about this issue. The offer to Nero, which raises a question of if we were to go that route, and 2 years from now, some court decides that Carmine Nero should get $2 million for that property instead of the $629. I don't believe we have any assurance that the FAA is going to still go to the 90% number of that, since they are not generally in favor of eminent domain. Secondly, the idea of a 5,000-foot runway, or as close as we can get to it without environmental impact, seems to me to be acceptable primarily to our business partner, Richmore Aviation, who is looking at it and saying, I can run my business, and therefore the airport remains a somewhat viable operation for the county. So it would seem to me that if we were not being reimbursed, then the 4,500-foot option would be me as I don't want to pay anymore. The 5,350 is a blank check to somebody down the road, and the 4,900 to 5,000 seems like a reasonable compromise that would make sense for most corporate jets, and we're talking about under less than G5s for the general use in and out of here. We're talking Citations and G3s and 4s that would have plenty of safety margin, would be able to use this facility and service the county going forward. So it seems to me that we have in some ways jeopardized ourselves by a rush to judgment in the beginning, which the FAA then approved. And now they are rightly saying, you guys go back and make up your mind first. I think through political pressure, they will acquiesce to funding this, because otherwise they're left holding the bag looking silly. So again, the 4,900 to 5,000 without interfering with Mud Creek seems to me to be a reasonable business, political, environmental, and general public solution.
Thank you. Other comments?
Let's end there.
Art, I'd just like to say that my father actually was one of the invested family members in the first two Learjets, so please don't hold that against me, you know, but he was involved in that back in the 70s when they first came into the airport. And me as a supervisor of Clawbrook, I've listened to this on and on, emails, watched everything that's been going on. And again, I'm saying common sense, since
seems to be coming out now. You know, it seems, okay, we don't have to go this way, we can go this way, we can fit it all. Everybody up here has been saying basically what will fit and seem to work, and everybody in the audience seems to agree with that. It seems like, yes, that 5,000 looks like it's going to work all the way around. So by me looking at this, I'm thinking the common sense is telling us that might be the best way to go at this point in our juncture. Again, I haven't made the decision yet, but again, this is what I'm listening to.
Thank you. In the back there. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm the educator of Shelby County Children's Hospital, and I operate Mud Creek Memorial Center. So I'm happy to be here and hearing about Mud Creek. And what I'm curious about is if you're extending 250 feet, and right now there's a 1,000-foot safety zone, which means the fence abuts Mud Creek, would that fence be moved another 250 feet south into the right now?
The goal is to accommodate the 4,900 to 5,000 feet without moving that fence. As I said earlier, if we decide on a scenario that does encroach into the Mud Creek, that may pose some pretty significant remediation efforts on the part of the county.
That's what I was wondering, because there's a pretty significant slope that happens there, which requires a lot of trails.
Yeah.
And it's also a wetland that floods.
And the stream really is not too far from the toe of that slope.
No, it's not at all. So right. That's why I was curious to visualize how that would look from our side. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, thank
good
you
point.
Very
yes.
I wanted to take the opportunity to agree with something that Mr. Flood said, which is that I do think the FAA has put you in an awkward position, but I think if you go back over the history of this whole issue and the grant making that they dug you, it seems highly unlikely that they would shoot you down if you come up with a reasonable proposal. I would go back to something Mr. Robinson said in his presentation about the history of the airport. I think you were talking about the 2006 period. After the Kozels sold the land, I was typing as fast as I could. But roughly, we stated that when we were prepared to make the offer, the suggestion was to purchase the entire land, not just 16 acres. That turned out to be impossible. And then it was stated that the FAA willingly gave us another grant offer to redo that whole study. So there's a history of them saying, okay, situation's changed, you guys have different priorities. Go ahead. I would just be stunned if they didn't get behind a compromise solution.
You know, Sam, I've talked to Steve Yerlis, who, by the way, sends his regrets. They're moving from one place to another. They couldn't make it tonight, but they say they'll be back to see us the end of second half of February. He's very cordial, very supportive. They want the safety zone. Safety zones are the most important priority. If we come up with a plausible solution, I think they're going to be extremely pleased. And we'll support it. I agree with you.
My other question, just briefly, I missed it, was what was the difference between option 3 and option 4? I think those were the two most similar, and I wasn't totally clear. Maybe I just missed it. But I think number 4 was 4,900 to 5,000.
Option 3 is between 45 and 49.
Okay,
that's Kevin's suggested. Let's look at the jets that are using the airport, what they need to take off and land, and is there room under 4,900 for the airport to be satisfactory from Mr. Richards' point of view to accommodate jets and maybe reduce the cost of doing it a little bit more.
Okay, thank you.
And number 4 was 49 to 5.
Yep. Ken. As far as revisiting, another point that was brought up, but most people may not have heard, is that the 4,900 to 5,000 foot option is significantly cheaper by all proposals and all estimates than the domain plan. CMS came with two different numbers in relation to that, but you know, where they've said that the eminent domain plan is about $3.4 million, they're, by two measures, the 4,900 to 5,000 foot plan was somewhere between $1.6 and $2.5 million. So you're talking about a $900 to $1.8 million savings by going this route. To ask the FAA to come up with a study plan where they may be saving 90% of 900 to 1.8 million seems like a very good argument in favor of revisiting.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. The concept of cost, I think, needs to be looked at in a slightly broader picture, at risk of repeating what I said a week or so ago. An airport is a key integral part of our national critical infrastructure, and it's a key integral part of the infrastructure of a community as well. In the event of an emergency, national emergency, natural emergency, weather-related emergency, an airport is absolutely invaluable. I've worked in many countries around the world and seen the value of it in aviation security and safety consulting. 5,000 feet seems to be a range that, especially in the weather phenomenon we have here, it's not terribly hot, not in the summer, not like Indonesia. 5,000 feet, I would suspect, will give the performance capability range that we need. And based on, based on Malin's observations as a professional and what I've seen through the last 44 years, I would suggest that we not reduce it below 4,950 feet, and that number four would be an option. I think that I know it's a little more expensive than some of the others, option four is, but I really would hate to give up for our five percent. I'd hate to give up what we can get from keeping our 4,950 or 5,000 feet. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other comments or questions about the alternatives? Yes, sir.
The distances for the safety zones, 600 feet and 1,000 feet, are those hard and fast numbers, or are they flexible at all?
They're hard and fast. That was a true-false question. That was good. Yes, sir.
I just a general comment about Bruce Roberts. The 5,000-foot runway here, it seems like that's a measured distance that's a requirement in current operations here. So shorten that would impact current operations and uses of the airport. And going south and to protect the safety zones of the north and those posted obstacles that are part of the problem in the north, that would have been a push to the south on that plan. And still keep close to 4,900 or 5,000. So you've identified posted obstacles facing the north and the Benz area that seem to have to be taken care of. I mean, you identify something as a problem. We got a tree that's hanging up with those, but we're going to leave it there for years and years. So some things have to be done just to show that we're working on a plan. We're worried about maybe a lawsuit or an incident that happens and possibly some of the county. We know certain things are an issue now. I think a posted obstacle that's identified needs to be looked at and taken care of. You know, we talked about Key West. Well, yeah, the highest thing down there is a sand berm of 1 foot, 20 miles. You know, two major trees, pine trees, or hills. That's why we all live here. So it seems like we can go a little bit to the south, protect the safety zone, or clear up some of the posted obstacles to the north, and still have a 5,000-foot runway that's going to keep us going where we are. And 20 years from now, the town, the county, as the stewards of the airport and the community, and we have a place to go and still maintain our current operation.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
I was just curious, how many of these meetings have we had so far, like seven or eight?
You want to make that a true-false question?
I'm working towards one. I think seven or eight, and I believe that Mike Benson came to one, and he stated the same exact words that he read in the letter, but at that time he thought we were attacking Malin and everything, and he was going to defend the business and everything, but nobody's ever been against Malin, and Malin's been totally on board with us. So I just want people to know, Mike Benson came to one meeting, and he said those same things then, and he has not even come to the basis that the 5,000-foot runway is a good option and everything. The original plan is what seems Mike thinks is a great thing, and he just hasn't been here with you guys. Is he part of the board?
Yes.
Has he been to one?
True.
True or false?
I believe that's correct.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, anybody else? It's 8:30. I know you all have someplace you'd rather be.
let me very briefly talk about where we go from here. I'm going to draft up...
Excuse me, Art, you didn't say what you favored.
No, you didn't.
And you said if we forced you, you would. So okay. Here you go, Art.
I agree with Malin and John and all of those who believe that we ought to try to get something that is 4,900 to 5,000. I want to look at the under 4,900 and see if I can talk Malin into something less than 4,900 that won't hurt his business and will keep the jets coming as they are now. But if that can't happen, I'm okay with 4,950.
Malin, actually, when we met, you said that it does appear that technology is requiring planes to use less runway, not more. And that looks like the trend is going forward. And maybe that's one of the reasons that all those years ago we went with 5350. But now, you said at my house that you didn't think they would ever go back to planes needing longer runways, unless, of course, we're trying to land 747s. But the kind of jets and the newer versions of those that you have are actually requiring shorter runways, right?
Well, sure. And shorter than the jets that Mr. Whitehill had. Clear 24 would require more runway than a Gulfstream 5.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know that you're going to get much shorter than where we are right now.
Right.
And even with that, it's still limiting what you can leave here with. It's not only the runway length, it's the temperature, it's the wind, it's whether the runway is wet or dry. There's so many things that go into it that lots of times you would like to have more than a 5,000 feet.
But right now, just so I'm clear too, because I get confused by, believe it or not, I too get confused, one runway is in compliance. We just have one runway that isn't. So we have an airport that has one runway that has a 1,000-foot safety zone. And one runway that does not.
True.
And I mean that is one point to make. One of the runways doesn't, one does. Because I know that from what I've read, that half of the commercial airports in the entire country do not have the safety zone. And some of them are JFK and LaGuardia and San Francisco and Boston Logan. I mean, there's some very large airports that will never have this. So I want us to have the best runway we can and the safest runway no matter what. Airport, I mean. But I just would like to point that out, that one is good. We're talking about one runway.
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
One brief comment. I would really hate to see that margin cut. One of the things that I know from my experience in aviation is safety margins is what makes the difference. One doesn't want to operate to this extent all the time, because that extra 500 feet could make one heck of a difference in circumstances. Icy runway, slippery runway for landing, hot, very hot temperature, higher than we think for takeoff. I'd really hate to see that margin cut from 5,000 to 4,500. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Going forward, I'm going to draft up a resolution and share it with the committee between now and the meeting on the 12th of February that outlines what my sense of the committee's consensus is, which is we want a runway that is not to exceed 5,000 feet. And I will share it with our county attorney so he can put it in the appropriate format. And if I get concurrence from all of the board members or a majority of the board members before the meeting on the 12th, I will circulate this to everybody on the email list, so you all can see where we're going. And what we'll do, we have a meeting, a regular committee meeting at 3 o'clock on the 12th, where the committee will talk about the proposed resolution and will either adopt it and recommend it to the board or not. I'm assuming, based on what I've heard tonight and what I've heard from the other members of the committee, that the committee will adopt a resolution recommending a 5,000-foot runway. We will then take it to the Finance Committee, and then we'll take it to the board. In between the 3 o'clock committee meeting and the Finance Committee meeting at 6 o'clock on the 12th, we're going to have a committee meeting with the full board. And the full board is going to be invited to sit in. The committee will basically brief the board on what we've done, very much like we have done tonight.
will outline the options and give the board an opportunity to ask questions and make comments, much as we have done tonight. Consider this a dress rehearsal. You are all invited to that committee meeting at 6 o'clock. If you have the time, plan to be there, because I will at some point ask for comments from all of you so the full board can hear what it is that is on your mind. And while it'll be a shorter opportunity than the last 3 months, use it, if you have something to say, use it to communicate exactly how you think about the options and where we ought to be and what's good and what's bad about where we're going with this thing. So that's the way it's laid out. If everything works according to plan, we will have a resolution that the board will consider. And if the board adopts it that night, we will then take it to the FAA. David and CNS will then take the lead, and we'll talk with CNS and the FAA about the next steps that the FAA wants us to go through. This will take months to sort out, and maybe by this spring, early summer, we will know if they are going to fund a project to specifically design a less than 5,000 foot or an approximately 5,000 foot runway and safety zone solution. If they agree to do that, it's probably, what, in a couple of years?
The planning would probably be a year, especially if we don't have property acquisitions, because all we need to do is revisit the environmental assessments and work towards what's called a finding of no significance. Once the FAA issues that environmental finding of no significance, they would then prepare a grant offer to the county for the design of the runway safety area. We would then execute that grant offer with the FAA and commence the design. When the design is complete, we would then be given a grant offer for the construction of the runway safety area. We would then execute that grant offer and then have the funds to construct the runway safety area. All in, probably 3 years to completion of construction.
And I promise you we will not meet twice a month for the next 3 years. But we will meet as often as is necessary to move this thing along. Ken, any last words?
I do not.
David? Michael?
You realize how small the committee room is that we need, right?
Yeah. You want to do this here again? Anything else? Anybody have anything else before we break? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.